You are Locked On Wolverines, your daily podcast on the Michigan Wolverines, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Happy Wednesday. We are back and doing it. Locked On Wolverines podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it is your team every day. I am your man on the ground, Isaiah Hull, publisher of Wolverines Wire through USA Today Sports Media Group. A little bit of a different angle today, just because I learned that I can put my one camera on top of my speaker rather than having the tripod way, way over there. If you're watching, if you're listening, it doesn't really matter. So at least I feel like I'm capable of looking a little bit easier at the camera. Nonetheless, we could get into all of the, you know, the spring ball roster is out. I guess there's some tidbits there. I don't think any of it particularly interests me, except for Ladarius Henderson not being on it because he's stayed at Arizona State. I think that's news to all of us. When we spoke to team spokesman during bowl season, it all were supposedly coming, and that I believe was the word. And it turns out that that's not what ended up happening. So that is what it is. And that's fine. Otherwise it's stuff that we kind of already know. Amarion Walker being listed as number one and having the DB / wide receiver. What does that mean? Him being number one with, Jaden McBurrows also being number one. I don't think that's going to matter, right? At this moment, unless they need both of them on the field at the same time, a couple other number changes off the top of my head. Tyler Morris switching to Ronnie Bell's number at number eight. But otherwise, I just don't think it's that anything that we can really glean that's that interesting. They didn't update the weights. I think the thing that I'm normally interested in with a roster update. So with them not having updated the weights, to some degree, I don't think that there's much like useful analysis coming out of it. I think the only other thing, Alessandro Lorenzetti moving from offensive tackle to defensive tackle. We'll see if that play, you know, pays any dividends, if that ends up being anything as he enters his second year. So what I think I want to do is kind of, since it is spring ball, and I know it all probably was going to feel like a rehash. I feel like every show is a rehash of another one, like going all the way back to the first episode. When one way or another, we just have rehashed after rehash after rehash. Nonetheless, I think that I want to go through every position and say something interesting about like what I'm looking for. And I don't just mean like doing like what we've kind of done, where we've, you know, where I've gone through and said like, you know, these guys are the ones that I'm looking at. I kind of want to do more of an outlook of spring ball. We'll see if that works. Maybe it ends up being exactly the same as last week. We'll probably still have fun anyway. Or we'll have an awful time and we'll move on. But so let's start with the quarterback position, which I was just on the Voice of College Football, their Michigan channel, with Mark Rogers. And just went over the whole quarterback scenario. So I mean, I think that's where we'll start. And then we'll spend the next two segments probably breaking down everything else because we've already wasted 4 minutes here. But starting with the quarterback, I mean, I think the obvious thing is that J.J. McCarthy is the guy. He's healthy. So you want him to grow. That's the most important thing. But you also, the second most important thing is the guys behind him growing. I just liken Jack Tuttle to being a poor man's Alan Bowman. No offense to Jack Tuttle, but that's what I believe. He certainly is welcome to prove me wrong. But Davis Warren would be the guy that I would imagine would be number two. And I think that it's a situation where you hope that they're at least kind of trying to put it to him of like, hey, man, you can dethrone J.J. McCarthy. I mean, you might not believe it, but you hope at least his level of play gets there, right? Rising tide raises all ships, so you hope that that is kind of what happens there, is that he becomes his best self through the nature of competition, and Michigan thinks that they have something special in him. So you hope that they find a way to get him to be even better than he's been. For Jack Tuttle, he only played really in one game last year for Indiana because it was the Connor Bazelak show for the bulk of the season. I don't really have expectations for him. I think if he's playing, for the most part, either Michigan's in a blowout win situation or something has gone horribly awry. Meanwhile, there's other guys, Alex Orji, who is a tank, and you wonder how long he's going to stay at quarterback, but he seems to like it there. Do they work out some, you know, Dan Villari style, the way that they talked about running him? Didn't really. We did get some Orji in the end zone, as RG3 said. So you wonder if they try to figure out some situations for him. I think that might be overthinking it to some degree. And then you've got the other guys. Brandon Mann threw a pass. I believe it was a touchdown in that UConn game. Jaden Denegal, 4-star Apple Valley, who's not really thought of. And Kendrick Perkins, who's an intriguing prospect, who I think you can have in that same conversation as Alex Orji as being kind of a change of pace type of guy. Honestly, I don't want to see any of them in fall. We'll hopefully see all of them in spring ball. I think the only thing that we can really look at and say how much utility can you have outside of a backup role is, do you have a skill set that can be utilized on game day for some kind of change of pace? And I think that'll be interesting. But don't count anybody out for the future. I mean, particularly could be this year. Something happens to JJ. And you hope that that doesn't happen. But, you know, it's Michigan also has pretty good security blanket with the running backs, the offensive line, a lot of other things going in Michigan's favor. So that's kind of where the quarterback situation stands. We'll see if we can split up the rest of the offense and defense of just kind of like digging a little bit deeper into what we're looking for, essentially. So we will continue on momentarily. Before we do that, the midway point of the NBA season is here. Now is the perfect time to download FanDuel, America's number one sports book, because new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's bonus bets back if your first bet doesn't win. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It's safe, secure, and super easy to use. Then you can bet on everything from the money line to point scores and threes drained. Plus, FanDuel even lets you combine your bets for... The combine. You can combine your bets for a chance of bigger payout for the same game parlay. So don't miss the chance to get your no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets when you go to FanDuel.com/lockdown. That's FanDuel.com/lockdown to learn more. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. All right, let's move on and try to see if we can get through what I'm looking for the most for the rest of the offense, not just going through the personnel of, like, you know, who I think is going to be a factor and everything. Basically, we're just going to call this storylines that I'm most interested in, that Isaiah is most interested in. What you're most interested in is up to you. For me, what I'm most interested in with the running backs has less to do with Blake Corum and Donovan Edwards. Blake Corum, I would assume, is not really a full active participant at this point. Anyhow. And while in the fall, I want to know if Donovan took that next step forward, what I really want to know is who's really going to be that number three guy, because Kalel Mullings, is he going to stick at running back? He's listed as a dual guy as well. Is he going to finally stick at running back, or is he going to go and you can... I think he could be really good if he can hold on to the football. You know, I think people complain about what happened there. You know what? No one complained about the touchdowns he had in the Big Ten championship game, right? People make mistakes. I think it's disappointing. People are going to complain about it, but I don't think that's necessarily, you know... It's always one of those things. If something works, then you're happy about it. If it doesn't, then you're going to complain about it. But is it going to be him? Does CJ Stokes take that step forward? Keeping in mind that Blake Corum was not Blake Corum in year one. He got a lot of play, but he wasn't like this guy that everyone was really going nuts over in year one. That was more so Hassan Haskins, and everyone was waiting more for Zach Charbonnet to get more run. So does CJ Stokes take that same kind of trajectory? Because we saw some pretty good stuff from him in some of the limited time that we saw him, but then we also saw him kind of fall off the map. So is it going to be him, or is it Tavier Dunlap? How do those freshmen do? Can Cole Cabana make an early contribution? But really, it's not about the whole depth of it. It's that number three position. Tight end. Colston Loveland, are you still going to do what we saw you start? But more so, I want to see, well, for part of it is the blocking aspect for him. But for tight ends, it's a little bit more twofold of two other players. Matthew Hibner and A.J. Barner. A.J. Barner can kind of live up to what I think his potential is. And how does he acclimate? Because I think he can come in and just suddenly open everyone's eyes. And that's all I got there on that position, I think. Even though we only have, what, one more position left in the... so maybe I should expound, but let's just go right to the offensive line, because that's where it's a little more interesting. I think it really, I'm just going to say, sucks that Ladarius Henderson is not on campus, because he's a guy that we expect to be a starter. Now, that's good news for Jeff Percy, probably, that he's going to get all those reps so that when Ladarius Henderson comes in, they can duke it out through summer conditioning and fall camp. And then, so really, it's who ends up where, right? Across that board. Because there's only two guys that you can look at along the entire offensive line and say, those are starters. Trevor Keegan, Zach Zinter. That's it. So you've got three other position battles. And whether it's the Percy Ladarius Henderson battle that isn't happening, does Miles Hinton get a crack at it over there? Or is he more going to be an inside guy? Keeping in mind, Michigan tries to be quite ambidextrous with its players. Could also be Trente Jones or Carson Barnhart. Carson Barnhart has played left tackle for Michigan. So that left tackle is interesting. But the same kind of thing goes for right tackle, where you assume it's going to be a Trente Jones, Carson Barnhart battle. And in spring, it might not be. Miles Hinton certainly is going to try to get involved. Then, you know, I'm not even mentioning some of those other guys that are just going to be trying to battle it out for that number two spot that they maybe already hold. Gio Alhadi and Raheem Anderson. And Raheem Anderson is going to certainly be battling Drake Nugent along with Greg Crippen. So really, it's just the battle of the two deeps across the offensive line is what I'm looking at there. That is the thing that's most interesting to me. Really just struggling to keep this separate from my... I just like to do what Jim Harbaugh does. Let's just go right down the roster. Let's mention everybody on the roster. All right. With that in mind, I'm just going to go ahead and move on to the defense. So I don't have as much anything that necessarily that interesting for the rest of the offense. Oh, wide receivers. Didn't even talk about wide receivers. See, I completely missed out. My biggest thing I'm looking at from the wide receivers is, again, twofold. It's one, this is the one that everyone's probably had on their mind, and I've said a million times over, which is, how does the trio from last year improve? Are they suddenly ready for the bright lights, college football? But the other part is more so, how do the elder statesmen take that step forward? How does Cornelius Johnson and Roman Wilson in particular, how do they take that step forward? What do they do? We've seen Cornelius be completely breakout. That Ohio State game, of course. Dude, do that every game. And you know he's capable. It's not like Ohio State is some slouch, but he stepped things up big in that game. It seems like whenever he's kind of counted out, he takes that step forward. And Roman Wilson being the other. But so those are the two things I'm looking at. That's a rehash, essentially. So let's go ahead and move on. Let's move on to defense. Probably keep this relatively short. I really do feel like I'm rehashing. I'm sorry for that. That wasn't the intention. Sometimes you try to take tangents from the things that you've already done with new material, and sometimes it doesn't work out that way. I've done that a lot in writing. Sorry, my microphone just loves falling down here. I've done that a lot in writing where sometimes I'll be like, okay, I have two different ideas theoretically, and then I sit down and try to write this, you know, I write one of them, and then I go sit down and try to write the second idea, and it ends up being the same exact thing, and it's like, oh, that is not what I was trying to do, but it turns out that it's different, but it's the same. So the things I'm looking forward to most at each position group as far as the battle, essentially, coming out of spring ball, on defense next. All right, so my biggest question defensively, defensive interior, defensive tackle, defensive line, what have you. It's probably less to do with Chris Jenkins. Obviously, I think it's just kind of everyone that's not Chris Jenkins. But more so, I think my thought is Kenneth Grant in particular. How does Kenneth Grant grow from year one to year two? That is what I want to know, I think, above all. Because, you know, there will be some guys that could certainly play. Trey Pierce, I don't believe, arrives until... He's not one of the early enrollees, so he doesn't arrive until later. He could be a guy who plays year one. You know, I am interested in how Rayshon Benny improves. You know, can Ike Iwuna become a guy? You know, how does Alessandro Lorenzetti do, you know, that they've now that they've transferred him? But really, to me, you know, Mason Graham's obviously in that conversation. But to me, I want to know about Kenneth Grant because, like, to me, he's got, like, the highest potential of any of Michigan's defensive tackles. So that is what I'm the most interested in. That's the storyline I'm most interested in, is one particular player, Kenneth Grant. How does he take the reins and roll with it? Where does he drive his own train? Defensive end, edge rusher, outside linebacker. I mean, the obvious story is who takes up the mantle from Mike Morris. Because there's not an obvious candidate. We talk about Braden McGregor and all of this. But I think it's a twofold of how does Josiah Stewart fit in mixed with how much has Derek Moore grown in his role and his capability. That is, I think, the biggest part. But, I mean, the obvious thing is they've got to replace a lot of production. And Jalen Harrell's included in that as well, and he's there. They got to replace a lot of production, but you need a guy, at least one guy, or, you know, you would think that is going to be able to... The one guy that if they don't have him out on the field, we can all sit there and lament Michigan's luck, or lack thereof, you know? So, my memory card is certainly filling up on the camera. We're going to try to keep this short. So going to linebacker, less about Junior Colson, maybe less about Michael Barrett. I want to know more about Nakai Hill Green. Does he come back? And if he does, how key and pivotal can he be? Cause we haven't seen him in a year plus. So Nakai Hill Green, I want to know how you're doing, but I also want to know, like, how does a guy like Joey Velasquez add up? How does Jaden Hood? I want to know outside of the ones that we obviously already know. And that also includes Ernest Hausman, who, you know, was considered to be the best linebacker in the transfer portal. Safety. My question does not concern the three supposed starters or Mike Sainristil, who's the nickelback, who can be considered a safety. My big question has to do with two players and two players only. Zeke Berry and Keon Sabb. I want to know how those two guys do. That's all I'm going to be looking at during the spring game. Are those two guys really? Because I know Rod Moore's a baller. I know that Makari Page is really good. We know that RJ Moten has a lot of capability. I'd like to see a little bit more consistency. But that's really about it. But those two guys, I think, you know, they have that opportunity to be like guys that either probably less this year, but probably more next year that you'd sit there and salivate over and be like, I can't wait until that guy's a starter. That, I think, is what I want to see, mostly from the safety. We'll finish out. I'm not going to do special teams. We're going to finish out with corner. And the obvious storyline there is who is going to be the guy opposite Will Johnson. But also, I'll give you a curveball. How does Will Johnson improve upon what we've already seen? Because he was really, really good, but players get better. Does he take away an entire side of the field? Is he that incredible? Is he that crazy good? And I think he has that chance to be, right? I mean, we talked about him being on the show yesterday, about him being the number 10 PFF draft pick if everyone was eligible. So I just want to see, like, what does he look like now that he's got a season under his belt and got winter conditioning and, you know, the culmination of spring ball, and suddenly we get to see this guy that's, you know, going to be even better. Is he just out there just going nuts? And what does that look like compared to some of the other greats we've seen come through in the Jim Harbaugh era, from Jordan Lewis and Channing Stribling to David Long and LaVert Hill to Ambry Thomas? What does that look like? But obviously, we also want to know who's that other guy opposite him. Is it Amarion Walker? Which, you know, one person confided in me that he very well could be the guy, but we'll know after spring, right? So, other options there. All right, I don't want the video to not match the audio. And I feel bad and I apologize because I feel like this ended up being something of a rehash from Monday's episode, which was not the intention, not what I sat down intending to do, and that's kind of what ended up happening. So I'm just going to call it. We'll be back on Thursday with the mailbag. Get your questions in on Twitter. The call is up. It's there for you. And we'll go from there. So thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. We'll be back then. Peace.